particular, and if distributed computing wins out, then it will win out. Now, if the way in which Microsoft has delayed distributed computing is to violate its licensing agreement with Sun Microsystems and has polluted the Java programming language, then by all means, I hope they sue each other, as they are doing, in fact, and I hope they can sue until the cows come home, as far as I'm concerned. May the company that's in the right with respect to this license dispute prevail, but I don't know why that requires a government intervention.
I just want to make a comment about Professor Zittrain's comments on criminal enforcement, only because we put people in jail in this country if they have no market share at all, and two widget manufacturers with 2% of the market nakedly fixed prices, we put them in jail for 3 years in Danbury. And yet, if you were a monopolist, if you accept, in the subjunctive, if one were a monopolist and acted with an intent to destroy competition and have a real effect upon a relevant market, why should that be treated so less severely than maybe we shouldn't put people in jail for having a de minimis market share and then agreeing to fix prices when 99% of the market is free to go buy a widget from somebody else? But I see a disconnect there.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily mean to make a clarion call for amnesty for all antitrust violators. Agreed. I guess I do see some power in Rick's point of the distinction between activities where you truly are in the smoke-filled room and conspiring with someone else to fix prices. I mean, there's something that may be indeed malum in say about it, the way we've been kind of indoctrinated to think, that may be slightly harder to put your finger on when you're talking about single person monopolization, bad behavior, and people that are all going to try to walk that line as close as they can. And maybe that line exists even with the agreements too.
At common law, as we all know, in England, both were subject at some point to the death penalty.
Yes.
I'm not advocating that.
But I think the real answer to this is that...
My clients would be very, very troubled.
I think the real answer to this is that the Microsoft case, in a very important respect, is a rhetorical entity. It's a case that is part of our culture, not just part of our jurisprudence and our technical doctrine. And to actually stand up and say, well, this particular case went that way, so end of story, is really to miss the idea that really is kind of a referendum on competition and the limits of it in America. And I think, as somebody, might have been you, I don't mean to ascribe it to you, though, if it's not, said earlier, that it's something that has actually put antitrust front and center in the American public's mind in a way that it has not been, including justifications for it at all. And you hear back and forth, should there be antitrust?
I think it was Byrd and Lenny that both made those comments.
So as a rhetorical matter, I wouldn't want to see the result be that we're saying Bill Gates is a criminal. And this is not a legal judgment I'm making. It's truly a rhetorical and a cultural one.
One more, and then we're going to retire, two.
Just a tiny thing on criminality. The contrast has been between people secretly meeting in smoke-filled rooms and presumably the openness of Microsoft. I think it is possible to make an argument that until the litigations and the hearings and the common market pushes, an awful lot of what Microsoft did was very secretive, that people didn't know about the deep discounts, the coercion on OEMs, and it doesn't have to be a smoke-filled room. I think there are indicia of secretive coercion, if you wanted to make that argument, that you could make in the Microsoft case.
If we didn't call it monopolization but called it extortionate transactions, people would be more comfortable putting them in jail. So
that's right.
We can debate this in another symposium.
Smoke-filled room, perhaps.
Well, maybe in a smoke, yeah. But not in the state of Connecticut. You're not going to do a smoke-filled room, trust me.
Perhaps a fog-filled room.
It would be illegal. Yes. I want to thank the speakers. I thought this was just terrific perspective. Sorry, Rick could not be here at the end. And Professor Kovacic, who was planning to be here to the end for the Q&A, found that his plane to Europe, one of them was canceled, so he had to leave early to make sure that he got to Europe this evening. Otherwise, he would have been here. So on behalf of Wigan and Dana, and thanks again to the Connecticut Law Review for putting on what is just a spectacular day, and thank you very much.